to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the award-winning political cesspool radio program. It is Saturday evening, November 7th. I am your host, James Edwards, broadcasting to you tonight, not from our regular digs, AM 1380 WLRM studios. I am in Nashville, Tennessee tonight at a very nice hotel in the Opryland area of Nashville. I had a speaking engagement this afternoon for a Council of Conservative Citizens meeting, and I am happy to be here and happy to be with you. However your picnics up tonight on the cesspool, around the country we are, even around the world, we're a global program. Thanks to the Internet and our affiliates on the Liberty News Radio Network, of course, our home station, the flagship 1380 satellite, any way you get us. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Had a great first hour this evening with Keith Alexander. We covered a myriad of topics and still much more to cover before the time runs out, before the sand runs out of the hourglass. You will hear from Gordon Lee Baum, Esquire, the Chief Executive Officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens. He is here in Nashville with me this evening, and we're going to be talking to him in about a half hour, if all goes well. Now, they all went out to eat. While I had to eat McDonald's and then retreat to my hotel room to broadcast this show, all of my buddies went out for a nice steak dinner. So unless Gordon is overloaded on steak, he should be calling in about a half hour. Later on tonight, a very interesting interview with a political activist, a campaign strategist and pollster, Roan Garcia Quintana. Roan was on the program about a year ago. I think it was exactly a year ago. Last November he was on, right around this date, uncannily enough, with Bill Rowland. I was out that particular evening, and that was the night Roan made his political cesspool debut. He's going to be making an encore appearance tonight. All that and more forthcoming tonight on the Political Cesspool Radio program. And if you're tuning in right now, you didn't get the top of the program with Keith Alexander, keep in mind that this show and all of our shows dating back to 2005, I think, almost the entire run of this program. We are, of course, have just celebrated our five-year anniversary, and our broadcast archives span nearly that entire time. You can get those online at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Of course, we celebrated that five-year anniversary 2 weeks ago on the show. That was followed by a pretty special Halloween installment of the program last week, and then now here we are in November, and I can remember going to the mall with my wife the day after Halloween, November 1st, and already, all of the stores in the mall, and I mean overnight, literally overnight, had to be that night. All the Halloween stuff was down, and all the Christmas stuff was up. Now, I love Christmas like none other, and I love Christmas for the right reasons, and I celebrate it for the right reasons, unlike those secular department stores, but Christmas is not a time of peace and joy for our people anymore. It's unfortunately a time of struggle. The war on Christmas is something that's a year-round perpetual thing, but certainly at this time of year, as we begin to head into that very special spiritual time of year for our folk, this is something that we find ourselves under attack in just the same. And the attack has begun. The first salvos of this year's installment of the War on Christmas have been served in Ohio, a small Ohio town, no less. The War on Christmas is heating up in the city of Amelia. There in Amelia, Ohio, a 28-year-old Christmas parade is the latest casualty. The town lawyer said they can't have it because they might get sued if they honor Christ. So the mayor changed the name to, you guessed it, the Holiday Parade. Now, the people of Amelia, this small Ohio town, said, the hell with that, and if they can't have a Christmas parade, they're not going to put up with some ridiculous holiday parade. But conservatives will decry this as an attack on Christianity, which it is, but it's more than that. It's an attack on white people. Christianity is under attack and under constant assault because it's the religion that nearly every European or European-derived person used to identify with, and still the vast majority do. Christmas is under assault because white people are under assault. It's why manger scenes are banned on government property in December, but menorahs are everywhere. It's the same reason you can't even mention the Bible in most schools but there are public and charter schools all over the country teaching Islam and Kwanzaa. Those religions are fine. Christianity is not. You tell me what the difference is. We're almost to the point where white people will have no holidays at all in order to honor their heroes. Washington's birthday, a.k.a. President's Day, can't last much longer because George Washington and some other presidents were evil slave owners, they'll tell us, and up until JFK, just about every president was an unabashed racist, quote-unquote. Columbus Day, what about Columbus Day? Well, every year it's denounced more and more as a day that honors a genocidal monster. Independence Day, well, why should we celebrate Independence Day? Why should we celebrate a country that enslaved millions of blacks and massacred the Indians, where segregation was legal until the late 1960s and gay marriage is still outlawed? I mean, these are the arguments that they give us, and never mind the fact that they are completely without merit, but this is what we're being taught. This is what our kids are being taught to accept. Thanksgiving? Well, not only is that associated with Christianity, which is increasingly seen as evil itself, but it also celebrates the early white settlers who went on to genocide the Indians and enslave the blacks. Memorial Day and Veterans Day honor all those evil haters who fought for the genocidal nation in the name of slavery, segregation, and homophobia. Really, if you get down to it, the only holidays we should be observing are Cinco de Mayo, Martin Luther King Day, Juneteenth, Harvey Milk Day, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, and Holocaust Awareness Day. That's where we're going in America this Christmas season, 2009. But getting back to my original rant about Amelia, Ohio, here is the story from their local paper. All the mayor of this village wants for Christmas is a parade. However, the 28-year-old tradition apparently is coming to an end. I wanted to see the Christmas parade continue, Mayor Leroy Ellington said Monday. I believe in Christmas, and yet village solicitor Laura Abrams advised Amelia could be sued if public money was spent to organize an event linked to the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. In recent years, the Amelia Business Association sponsors the parade, which draws participants and spectators from throughout the county. The group backed out this time, perhaps because it couldn't get enough volunteers. Members of the village council figured the government of the town could sponsor the event and avoid the constitutional issue requiring separation of church and state by renaming it the Amelia Holiday Parade. The cards and letters and angry emails began coming in about the village taking Christ out of Christmas, the mayor said. Some of the local churches said they would be protesting along the parade route. That's not the spirit of the parade. Protesting is not the spirit of Christmas. Well, why not just name it? Who is going to complain up there? Why don't we have the guts to do what's right? It's Christmas. Let's call it Christmas. How did that even become controversial in America? How far have we fallen? How far have we been defeated? How much defeat have we endured to the point where we believe it is now, not me, but where, you know, weak-minded and gutless cowards that are in these small towns that have no problem with Christmas whatsoever. We believe it's controversial to call something a Christmas parade. Folks, again, you know, we have got to stand up. We have got to rally. We've got to take matters into our own hands, legally speaking, of course, and I'm talking about doing it through the political process by engaging our enemies in the court of public opinion, the way we do it here on this radio program. Speak out. Speak clearly. Let people know where you're coming from and you know, don't take no for an answer. Be relentless in your pursuit for what's right. And celebrating Christmas at Christmas time, nothing could be more right than that. And unfortunately, it's not only fallen victim in the big cities where you might expect it, in big multicultural centers of population, but in rural Ohio. Come on, guys, we can do better than this. We need to do better than this. Christmas is a very special time. But the Christians themselves, and this is a Christian program, you know, the entire hosting staff, you know, believers in the faith, but mainstream Christianity, I guess, is what I'm aiming for, has got to do a better job of cultivating and latching on to real spokesmen, real heroes of the cause, people who champion the faith. Miss California is not one of those. You know, this is something, once again, where we see, if this is what passes as our leadership, we really don't need opposition. This is, you know, Carrie Prejean there in California became a national conservative star after she said she was against gay marriage in the Miss USA contest. And if you watch the tape, she barely even said that. I mean, she almost said it with a degree of trepidation. And then the topless photos of her came out, and now apparently she's starting some sort of a pornographic video. And, you know, this is who was it? It was one of those big organizations that was championing her as the next, you know, great Christian leader. This isn't, you know, we can do better than that, too. We can do better. You got to start supporting organizations and people who have a track record of success.
Don't go away.
Not because
the
they utter
political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood, baby. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We're talking in the last segment about the war on Christmas. This is just one further caveat into that, a little tidbit for you, food for thought, if you will. Jesus, now, in case you didn't get the memo, is a hate monger, officially so, according to the European courts in Italy. The European Court of Human Rights, quote unquote, has ordered Italy to remove all crucifixes from public schools because, and I quote, the crucifix creates discrimination. European courts requiring that all public schools in Italy remove any semblance, anything that signifies Christianity. This is a war against our people, ladies and gentlemen. This is something you got to realize, is that, and we've been saying this one little line over. It's a one-liner, but it's something you need to have embedded into your minds, into your brains. You need to understand that the people who are working to destroy Western civilization are evil people. What we are dealing with, what we are up against, is pure, unadulterated evil. People who are working to destroy Western civilization are evil people. Our enemies are evil people, and you don't compromise with evil. You don't allow that evil to trample your rights and your traditions and your cultural heritage without a fight. And for far too long, that is exactly what we've been doing. I don't care if they outlaw Christianity in Syria. I mean, I don't want that to happen. But I'm not going to care as much as I do when they're, you know, when I read stories. That doesn't bother me as much as stories like the ones I've shared with you tonight bother me. You can't have Christmas parade in small town Ohio because what? They're afraid one, some Jewish woman might get mad. Some Muslim might get mad. You know, we can't have a cross taken into a school in Italy because Christianity is discrimination. We're going to let that stand. Well, if you want to stand with someone, if you want to stand with an organization that will never apologize, that will never retreat or surrender this battle until God himself calls us home, you need to stand with this radio program. This radio program has a track record of success. You know, we're always here for you. We never burn out. We have, I think, stood the test of time with consistency. Longevity is on our side. You need to support the organizations who are doing good work and producing a good fruit for you. And I think this radio show is one of them. If we are a listener-supported radio program. If you want to stand with us and help supply us here on the front lines, you can go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and donate safely, securely with your credit card. And we encourage you to do so. We need the support. We got to continue to grow. We're 5 years into this now. I think a lot of good things are going to happen. I think we're going to continue to get bigger. I think bigger and better things are ahead of us here in the future here on this for this radio program. In the next half decade should be more bountiful than the previous half decade. And if you want to be a part of that success and a part of our winning tradition here, go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and help us out. I want to share with you now, and there are some other great organizations out there too, obviously. I'm here in Nashville tonight with the Council of Conservative Citizens. That's an organization that deserves your support. We're going to have their chief executive officer on in just a few minutes to talk about it. And there are other good publications and organizations out there, but not many. I mean, not nearly enough. But I want to share with you now what's passing for racism. Everybody's a racist now, if you didn't get the memo. You're a racist if you're white, you were born a racist. I think everyone should know that by now. I mean, that's what we're being taught. That's what the message is in the movies. And, you know, we're born racist, but if we work really, really hard, maybe we will die a little less racist than we were when we came into this world. But let me tell you what's passing as racism now. And, of course, racism, you got to understand, that word is a Marxist construct. It has no real definition. It means everything, therefore it means nothing. If basically if radical anti-American, anti-Christian leftists don't like you, they try to make you radioactive by calling you a name that doesn't fit, like a racist, so people will shy away from you, or they hope that the stigma will inhibit your growth and your expansion. But it's not working, because you read stories like this and it just makes the whole concept of it just sounds silly. You know, why should I be afraid to be called a racist if things like this are examples of racism? And I've got a couple for you. Every week there's new ones. But over in England, a black couple became outraged, and I mean outraged, at being called a black couple. And here's the scoop. A black man and a woman, as I said, were outraged at a restaurant in the United Kingdom because people in that restaurant used racist language. Now, restaurants often put little identifying notes on orders to make sure that they get delivered to the right customer when the order is placed in one area and brought to another. Makes sense, right? Well, this time, this couple walked in, they ordered at a bar downstairs, and then went upstairs to the dining area. When they got their bill, this black couple I'm talking about, they were shocked and angered at the racist language that the restaurant had used to describe them. Must have been pretty bad, huh? Yeah, a horrible racial slur, no doubt. Actually, what the bill said was, and I quote, "Upstairs, black couple." That's it. And no, I'm not joking. Evidently, it's now hateful and racist to even notice that black people are, well, black people. And I'm reading now from the official story. A student and his girlfriend are furious after being called a black couple on their receipt by a staff at a pub. Johnson Abraham and Roxana Duhu claim that they were the only couple dining when they received their bill at the Slug and Lettuce in North London. Mr. Abraham, a mechanical engineering student, was at the pub last month to celebrate his girlfriend's new job as a real estate agent. They ordered at the bar without a table number before going upstairs to find a seat. When they went to pay for the meal, the comment was, "Upstairs, black couple," was printed on the bill. Mr. Abraham said, and I quote now again from the story, "I was outraged. They wouldn't have written white couple. They could have found another way to describe us. This is just inappropriate. They could have just written couple. The only other people eating apart from us was a large group. This is racism. I felt like we were being classed by our color and nothing else. It spoiled the night. It spoiled what should have been a celebration." Folks, that's how sick, you know, that's how sick the products of political correctness think. This is how warped and deranged their minds are. Do you really think I would be offended if I went to eat and I saw on my bill they wrote, you know, white guy or white couple? That's beyond childish. That's beyond silliness. That's just absolutely, I mean, you know, this guy, if they're that hypersensitive, how is he ever going to make it in the world? I mean, this is hysteria. But that's not all. That's just one example of what's passing for racism nowadays. Now, if you wear black clothes, you're now a racist. And that's funny, because I thought that when you wore black clothing, it was called goth or something like that. But no, it turns out that it's racism now, or at least using the word blackout is racist. I'm not sure which exactly, but some monstrosity at the University of Oregon called the campus, and you're going to think I'm making this up, the Bias Response Team. The University of Oregon's bias response team was called in, and they're not taking any chances about this. So here's the story, though. If Saturday's game against USC finishes without any racially charged incidents from the student body, it will not be without much of If Saturday's game against USC finishes without any racially charged incidents from the student body, it will not be much of a surprise. It probably hadn't occurred to many students that calling for a blackout, that is, wearing black clothing to a game, could have implied anything else. University senior Austin Berry started a Facebook group called Blackout to encourage the crowd to dress in black at the USC game on Halloween. He said he had seen the unity that dressing in coordinated colors brought to the Boise State fans on September 3rd and wanted to inspire the same for the Ducks. And I'm going to get back to that story.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we
ever do. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program, everyone. Saturday, November 7th is the date. I'm your host, James Edwards. I'm going to have to stay the continuation of that story out of Oregon for a little bit later on in the program, because we now have our first of two featured guests on the line. I promise I will get back to how wearing black clothes is now considered to be racist by the bias response team at the University of Oregon. We're going to save that a little teaser for you. We're going to do that later on in the show. We'll finish out that farce. But now we have Gordon Baum on, good friend of mine, impeccable leader in this movement. He is the chief executive officer of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and he is here with me, sort of. He's not in the room with me, but he is in the same hotel here in Nashville, and we're happy to have him back on the program for what is, I don't know how many appearances this is for you now, Gordon, but you're always welcome, and it always goes very well, and hopefully we can stoke the embers a little bit and do some good.
Well, it's always a privilege to be on air with the great James Edwards.
Yes,
the best radio program
that, my
in
friend.
The U.S. of A.
Just throw around those adjectives as much as you'd like. They're also welcome. Well, Gordon, we had a great day today here in Nashville. If you can, just kind of summarize that which was accomplished this afternoon.
Well, we had this is our board meeting. It's not open to the public. It's our leadership. And we had, I guess, around 60 there. We thought we'd only have about 40. But it was very inspiring. We had a lot of our new young leaders there. It's really marvelous. At our national conference, where we had several hundred in Jackson, Sam Dixon estimated that over half of them were under 40. And I would think that it was about the proportion here. And we have a lot of our young leaders from Indiana and Ohio and all over the South that were here, and it's really heartening. They're enthused. They're out doing something. A couple of times a week, somewhere in the U.S. of A., we've got activities going on with our local chapters, and we had a lot of reports about activities and things we're involved in and what people are doing to build the movement. And what's so inspiring is we had some folks like Sam Dixon and Don Black from other conservative efforts that report the same phenomena, which is that people are becoming more upset with the state of the affairs of this country and with Obama and his programs aimed at the majority of the people in this country. And people want to do something about it. You know, they're mad as hell, and they're not going to take it anymore. And so it's just part of the phenomenon that's sweeping the country, as we saw in the elections in Virginia and New Jersey. People are tired of what's going on, and they're finally getting their back up about it. And I think we're looking forward to the next 3 years of some really rough times as far as the Obama administration. Not that he's just black, but he without a doubt is the most left-wing president we've ever had. And we've had some pretty liberal presidents. But it's the totality of it all, you know, on everything from immigration to, for instance, just recently, by executive order, we understand that Obama is now made having HIV-positive AIDS not a deterrent from allowing people to immigrate to this country. And for every one of these people that move in here, it's a couple of hundred thousand a year just on medication to keep them alive. And we're supposed to have such a... We are having a rough time economically. We get reports from all over the country how bad the economy has become. especially for working people, proprietors of small businesses. It's rough times, and now they're getting ready to come through with the health care legislation, which is really going to be bad for the elderly on Medicare, Social Security. They're going to take away their medical benefits and give them to the welfareites, which include the illegals. Even though they deny it, it's structured such that it will benefit illegals. And the whole thing is becoming topsy-turvy. This country's in for some rough times over the next 1 to 3 years, depending on how long Obama stays in office. Hopefully it'll be just one term. But at the same time, it presents a huge, enormous opportunity for us to build an organization to try to keep this from not only happening, but from happening again in the future. And that's the whole key to it. We've got to get the upset working middle class, middle America, upset enough to realize they've got to be organized. They've got to do something to make their voices heard, or it's going to get worse and worse and worse.
Well, Gordon, you covered a lot of ground in that, and appropriately so. I want to touch on one thing you said about Obama lifting the restrictions on HIV-positive immigration. You know, most sane countries would restrict the travel or the immigration of people coming that have devastating communicable diseases. But, of course, America went insane a long time ago, and this is just another needle in the haystack that we've got to pull out and burn. But this is something, look, there's a lot of issues out there. This is a minor one, I guess, in the grand scheme of things. There are many.
Well, you know,
people are looking for leadership on. And Republicans
Ellis
and Democrats
Island
often don't disagree.
We were bringing in
on
the poor and downtrodden.
Certain issues.
Ellis Island was designed to weed out the sick, the people with communicable diseases like typhoid, malaria, particularly tuberculosis and leprosy.
Right.
But now we've thrown that out the window. And the first crack was when they said that if you were from a country and you had AIDS that discriminated against you, you could be brought in on a priority status. But now they're just throwing the whole thing out the window. So send us your ill and sick that we have to. Then, in one hand, they're telling us we can't afford medical care. We got to do something extreme, spend $1 trillion. At the same time, they're inviting all the sick people in the world to come here. It's just astounding. Of course, they're looking at it as a vote. That's what they want, is vote. And but as was shown in Maryland, Virginia, their vote's not that solid. What they keep forgetting, the majority of white Americans did not vote for Obama. And he only won because he had this huge percentage, 98% of blacks, which in many cities cheated, and Hispanics. Well, they didn't turn out in the elections in Maryland, Virginia here this week. And so they've got a problem because the whites do turn out, and they're upset, especially the elderly whites. And that's why it accounts for the Tea Parties and all this mass communication, you know, whizzes like yourself and Glenn Beck and people like that are making huge inroads. And I think what you're doing is invaluable to keep the American people alerted to it and give them options of what they can do to do something about it. It's good to be bad, but do something. When you get angry, do something.
Yeah, it's called a righteous anger. We need to have righteous anger, but we need to apply that anger into something constructive. And that's what I was saying this afternoon in some of my remarks, was that this program has three goals. I mean, we want to educate and inform and entertain. We want to showcase leaders and guests who are providing positive results for our people. But at the end of the day, if you're educated and you're well-versed on all the issues that are plaguing this country and this republic, but you're not doing anything, you're not involving yourself with organizations of worth, then basically you're just a well-educated nod on a log. So the third and final objective of this radio program is to steer people into the right direction to where they themselves can become leaders and leave their own impression on this nation. And, you know, when you're looking at organizations that are out there that deserve your participation, that deserve and have earned through consistency and a track record of success your membership, then, you know, obviously Gordon is the CFCC, the Council of Conservative Citizens. I'm a member of the council. We promote the council on this radio program. We run spots for the council, and we do it not because we're paid to do it. This is not a paid advertisement. I don't have you on this show, Gordon, because you're my friend. You are my friend, but I have you on this show because I believe in the organization that you represent, the organization to which I belong, and other people need to be there too. And that's what we're going to be talking about here for the next couple of minutes. I want you to I guess you, it's impossible to do it in 2 minutes, but just in a nutshell, what does the council stand for? What would the Council of Conservative Citizens champions be attractive to people out there in the listening audience?
And we have an excellent website, national website, and it's linked to about a dozen local chapter websites in Tennessee and Alabama, Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana, California. And so people can know more about it. But basically what we're doing is serving as a voice and an active advocate for the no longer silent conservative majority. We're doing that by not just a talk, but we're probably the only group in the country that has local chapters. We have members in every state in the union and I think 12 foreign countries, and we have active chapters in 28 states. And they're the ones who become very, very involved besides just the national. They also have to sit and wait for us. We're a states' rights organization. We believe in local government and the rights of the average person to be heard. And so hopefully people will...
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
We are live on the 7th night of November 2009. We're red hot and rolling, going out live, unrehearsed and uncensored to our affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network, our flagship station in Memphis, even though I'm not there physically tonight. Thank God for satellite. They're picking us up and broadcasting us out to the home base there at 1380 AM. We're on the internet, and you might even be tuned in over the Liberty News Wire. However you're tuned in, thanks for joining us. If you're driving around in the car or sitting in front of a computer, you're getting the same good message all the way around. And tonight, at the very moment, we are showcasing an organization to which I think all of our listenership should belong. If you're out there and you're looking to make a proactive difference, you're upset about the direction that this country is headed in, you think that we should restore the American experiment and reclaim America's destiny, but you just don't know how to get involved, you don't know how to become active, if you want to make a proactive difference, you got to join up with like-minded people. Now, you can support this radio program and we can continue to reach more people, but once you become informed, you need to go out there and leave your own impression. And I can't think of a better way for you to do that than joining an organization like the Council of Conservative Citizens. And we have on the line with us right now Gordon Baum of the Council. The Council champions all of the prototypical conservative causes, lower taxes, immigration reform, just on and on down the line, freedom of speech, Second Amendment rights, all of the issues that good, red-blooded American people believe in. This is the issue that, longer than any other, has been on the front lines. Gordon, the Council is not a fly-by-night organization. You see a lot of enthusiasts that come in and get involved in this movement and get involved in the conservative cause, and then they peter off. They come in hardcore constitutionalists, and then they just burn out. Well, that's not the Council. The Council is something that if you belong to it, it's going to be around probably long after you're gone. Are you with me, Gordon?
Yes, go ahead.
No, that's just what I was saying. I was saying, I was talking about the longevity of the Council of Conservative Citizens, how long the Council has been in operation, and how long they've been providing positive results for our people.
Well, see, we're not a fly-by-night. We've been in existence for 20 years. It's not a one-man show. We have a national board of directors of 26, which you know because you're on it. And we have some fine people from all across the country, a lot of local chapters. I think our leadership of local chapters, national advisors, and national directors now is about 250, and we got thousands of members, not only here but all over. As I said, we got chapters in 28 states and members in every state in the union. And as people get more enthused and involved, we're starting new chapters. At any given time, we've got at least 20 efforts underway to start chapters. Not all of them will come to fruition, but they're out there working on it. We'll get more added every day, and more young people, a lot of servicemen that are returning from the wars are joining the organization, Marines and Airborne and Army, and it's just really good. But there's a lot that people can do. They can make their voices heard. What people don't seem to understand is that politicians are, by and large, prostitutes. They do what's necessary to get elected or promoted to a better job, and they will pander to those they think can help them or hurt them the worst. And if we demonstrate to them through activism that we can hurt them more than the local left-wing news media, because that's who promotes them, they will listen to us, even a lot of these so-called Democrats. Most politicians, it's the best job you're ever going to have. It pays really well, has great benefits. You never have to wait in line at the restaurant to get in first. And you have, you know, all the perks that come with being a political figure. And they don't want to lose these jobs. And if they think the people back home, all politics is local, they all have to return to their local state and communities. And if they think the local folks are really ticked off, there's very few that will cross them. They will change their mind. Now, you have, in some leftist areas, some real dyed-in-the-wool left-wingers. But in most of the country, the people that are moderates and conservatives, they can call the shots if they just get themselves organized.
Yeah, so the key is to get organized. And this is something that conservatives historically have had a hard time doing. And, you know, when I say conservative, folks, I'm not talking about Fox News neoconservatives. You know what I'm talking about. I hate to use the word because it's become so watered down. I'm talking about constitutionalists. I'm talking about real paleoconservatives. We've had a hard time coming together and organizing. And if you're going to do it, you need to belong to an organization that can provide you with that sort of stability and leadership. And, Gordon, I want to be sure to get this in before we run out of time in this segment. Let people know, and you know, we could talk for another hour about the reasons that they should become involved and why, you know, the council might be a good destination, a good landing point for them. But if we do all that and forget to tell them how they can do it, then we're going to be remiss in our duties. How can people join the Council of Conservative Citizens?
Well, they can join online, cfcc.org. They can write to us at CFCC, P.O. Box 22-1683, St. Louis, Mo, 63122. They can get that address off our website. Or then call 636-940-8474 in the center of the country. And they can join by mail or in person. They go to local chapter meetings and join. Or they can join, probably two-thirds of the people who join up over the web. And you can go on there. It's not very expensive. Of course, the dues goes back to the local chapters. You get a quarterly newspaper. Bill Rowland, who all your listeners are familiar with, he's the editor of our newspaper, and he put up a very good newspaper. The next issue is getting ready to come out here very shortly. We have our website. A lot of the local chapters have their own newsletters, and so they keep them informed, and people can become as active and involved as they want to be, or they can just simply belong and know they're helping support an organization that is doing something. We're not going to come out there and make you become any more involved than you want to be. And by belonging and supporting it, the opportunity exists for you to become active, and at least you know you belong to something that's trying to speak out to represent you.
Well, as you mentioned before, Gordon, these politicians are interested in one thing, staying in office, and they respond to pressure. And there is just quite simply more power in numbers. And if you come together, you can get things done. And as I don't know if it went over your heads, ladies and gentlemen, but Gordon mentioned something that I want to re-impress upon you. Yeah, Bill Rowland, co-host of this radio program, is the editor of the official newspaper of the Council of Conservative Citizens, and it's a great newspaper. Bill and I are both on the board of directors. Gordon Baum, of course, our guest this evening, is the chief executive officer of the council. It is a family affair here, and we're involved with the council for one reason. It produces results. This radio show produces results. The council produces results. You're a fan of this radio show. We want to make you a member of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And I tell you, it is always rewarding to read emails from listeners out there who enjoy this show. It shows that we're doing the right thing. I mean, we like getting the hate mail, too. You know, we like it all. We like correspondence. Whether you love us or hate us, we like that you take notice of our work. We like getting the fan mail, but when I read an email from someone who said, because of our work, you know, they have joined certain organizations, that is what is richly rewarding, because they are then on the fast track to become leaders themselves and make a positive and a tangible difference. And again, we want you to strongly consider taking a look at the council's website, www.cofcc.org, cofcc.org. Join up, stand with us, and you can meet people like me and Bill Rowland and Gordon and all of these great guests that we feature so frequently on the show, Sam Dixon, Jared Taylor. They all come out to these events, these council events, that like the one we're at tonight. And Gordon, you also have that national headquarters phone number, too, in case somebody wants to phone in with a few questions.
It's 636-940-8474. And call that number. But go on the website or call and request information, a copy of the paper. Not going to cost you anything. It's worth out. Check it out, folks, if you're really interested in what you might consider doing.
Well, Gordon, I know you've got some engagements tonight yourself. I'm going to catch up with you in about an hour when I get off work. But until then, thanks for taking some time out tonight and coming back on the show to promote a very worthy and worthwhile organization. I appreciate it, my friend.
Bless you and all your listeners. You're doing a great job.
We're going to continue to do our best and strive to be the best. And thank you, Gordon, for the role you played in our development. Gordon Baum, everybody, CEO of the CFCC. Thank you, Gordon. And like I said, folks, I mean, we're not hawking this because this is a paid advertisement. In fact, quite the contrary is true. We are one of the few organizations that do not sell out, and we don't endorse products that we don't either believe in or belong to. Council is something you should take a look at, and you know, stand with us, stand with them. Together we will stand united, and that is an important thing to do for any number of reasons, not the least of which is it creates power. And there is strength in those numbers, and solidarity is something that is important. The left knows that all too well. We need to do a better job of coming together. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with the third hour right after these messages from our sponsors.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.